RadioInfluence.com.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Bit on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. That's what's going on here. We have so many things to talk about, and I have many things to talk about. Let me just tell you one thing. You know, I do watch TV, and I told you the last time I went to a bar, and only enforces why I watch TV. And if you didn't hear it, then you need to hear the last episode. So too bad. Go and figure it out. Anyway, you know, I don't want to say anything, but it is December, isn't it? Kind of, I guess it's December, sort of. And everybody wants to show us their holiday spirit. Now, if you want to do that, but do I have to see Nick Lachey doing something from Disney? Do I have to see Sierra doing something from Disney? And who do I love? Cookie more than anything else. And Cookie's doing some kind of white hot something or another. And I just don't want it. I just want to see Forged in Fire every day of my life. Oh, by the way, they played it for like 24 hours on Thanksgiving Day. It was the best thing in the whole wide world. Anyway, anything else that's going on? I know I read the papers and I go, and then I go back and watch around something in sports because it makes me semi-crazy anyway. You know, we have to do a couple of things. Barrett Salay is going to join us from CBS. He knows everything in the world about college football. And we're to the point now that seriously, is there anyone besides me that's going to coach Tennessee? I don't know, but Barrett's coming up. He's going to join us. So let's go and talk to him and find out what's going on because it is the Babe Cast. Well, where do we go from here? Barrett is in the house, and this is all I got to say. Am I the next person ready to coach Tennessee? Because no one in the world wants it besides me.
yes, you probably, because everybody else has already been exhausted. It's what a disaster of a coaching search there.
And, you know, I don't want to say anything. It wasn't like little prairies of anything. It's a great school.
It is a great school. It's a great school that's run by people that are not so great.
Yeah. And
that's exactly why they wound up in the position they're in right now.
Well, what do you do about that? I mean, do you get rid of Curry and all those guys or just say, because people really don't want to go there. And Lane Kiffin is having the best time in the world. Every time I look at Lane Kiffin, I'm just giggling through the whole thing. What's going to happen here? I mean, they seem to think that maybe it'll end up going to, you know, where would something go, like to someone would go there to Tennessee. But what do we hear these days?
Well, I mean, it's as fluid as it possibly can get. I think the thing about it is there's going to be somebody that takes it. They're just going to have to dip down to a level maybe they may not want to. Now, we'll see if somebody of these other folks will take it. We'll see if they talk to someone about it. We'll see if they dip down into the group of five ranks to talk to Neil Brown or somebody like that. But, like, it's a good job still. And
sure,
people know that, but I think people smell blood in the water. So when they knew they were vulnerable and desperate, a lot of these coaches and a lot of these agents realize, you know what? It's time to get a raise. Let's go get a raise and let's go call John Curry. And I don't see how John Curry can stay employed at Tennessee because, like, literally he was brought in this past year to bring stability and familiarity because he had been there before. And instantaneously he brings instability. It's just gross mismanagement by the Tennessee athletic department and the administration.
Well, so if we give it, it really gets to the point that unless it's Phil Fulmer, I don't think anybody really good is going to come there.
No, I mean, it's just, there's not many options left that are attainable because I think you've sort of got the view of what is attainable and it's none of the guys they've asked already. So, it's now to a point where you're sort of looking at Tennessee perhaps going through a pretty big rebuilding process because you're going to probably have a guy that is a coach that either is rebuilding or reinventing himself or still figuring out his identity, which means you're going to have some growing pains at the Power Five level. So it's bad all around. It's been poorly managed and John Curry has nobody to blame but himself for this.
What happened with the Schiano thing? I mean, I've seen him for a while. He's not my favorite person at all. But they kind of laid a lot of that Joe Paterno thing on him for that, and maybe they just didn't want that. And, you know, but how did you see that with the Schiano thing? Because everybody said he's going, and then they said, nah, I don't think so.
Well, I think it was unfairly labeled as, you know, they were putting the Sandusky stuff on Schiano. Some people were, and I mean, that's not necessarily right. You're innocent until proven guilty. But I'm also of the belief that if I'm an AD, the last thing I want is any connection to that scandal at all, like, period. You know, ADs just by nature are somewhat risk averse. And so I don't understand why you would want to be associated with anything that has to do with that scandal. But I think what's really unfair is that it's sort of been played like these crazy Tennessee fans rose up and you know, drug a dude's name through the mud. And that's really not what happened. You know, I've heard reports and people say, well, Clay Travis led this Twitter mob against Schiano. That's not it. I was working all day Sunday, and people were furious about the Greg Schiano news long before they connected the dots back to the Sandusky affair. So, I think that's a little disingenuous that narrative has sort of persisted nationwide, because from a pure football perspective, Greg Schiano doesn't deserve the job. Greg Schiano is Butch Jones. He was average in the Big East. And people that say that, oh, well, he led Rutgers to prominence in the Big East. Well, that was post-Virginia Tech and Miami Big East. Mm-hmm. He was under 500. The last 5 years, he was awful. He got blown out by 40 points by Butch Jones his final year at Rutgers. So, like, I mean, he's not a very good coach. And from a personality standpoint, he's exactly what Tennessee just fired. And that just didn't make any sense to me. And for John Curry to do that and not float his name out there and take the temperature of the fan base, gauge the fan base, so to speak, I just don't get it.
And I must tell you, just from my own perspective, Schiano is an idiot. That's the best way I can say it. I mean, I could say it in a lot of different ways, but I'll just call him an idiot. That's all I can say in that. Let me talk about some of the other things that are going on. What happened when they pushed the guy out at Florida State when he said, aren't you going to be loyal to Florida State? He was talking to Jimbo Fisher, and they pushed him on the back, and the guy was pushing him all the way out. And I thought, why don't you just say I am loyal or I'm not? Or, you know, it didn't seem horrible to me, that's all.
No, it didn't. It seemed real defensive. You know, and Jimbo and I've had a couple of incidents with him in terms of asking questions and him unnecessarily getting frustrated with honest questions that were being asked. But I think that was more just fan frustration, because I think Florida State views itself as a top five job, and Texas A&M views itself as a top five job. And the truth of the matter is, the top 15 jobs in the country are very fluid. You can be top five one day, you can be top 15 next. It doesn't really matter. But I think a lot of Florida State folks are like, why are you going to Texas A&M? And the truth of the matter is, Texas A&M is a really good job that I think provides some stability, has a lot of money, and there are a lot of personality issues involving Jimbo and Florida State that have sort of worn on him and on that school. So it's time to move on. I think that Jimbo is typically rather hard to work with, and he's extremely stubborn. And instead of firing some assistant coaches, which is something that he was going to be forced to do, he's just going to go move on to another job and come what may. So I think that's done, and we'll see what happens after that. But you know, that whole coaches shows like that, when you're in a situation where you're either on the hot seat or rumors of your imminent departure are prevalent, those coaches shows just seem like cruel and unusual punishment.
They are, because it's all in front of people, and they think it's going to be a great time. Let me just ask you, what are we going to do? All right, so Jimbo Fisherless, first of all, we have this, you know, we have him replacing the big guy, and now what do you do? If you're Jimbo Fisher, do you look around for Sumlin? Do you look for people who've been recently fired? Some people want Les Miles, things like that. Do you just... Where do you do from that? Because that's a pretty good school. We won't exaggerate that. I mean, it is a pretty good school. But you got to get the right person there.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I think they certainly want to go after Willie Taggart. And, you know, Oregon offered Willie Taggart a little bit of an extension yesterday or Tuesday, whenever that was. And I think that makes a ton of sense because Willie Taggart's a guy who obviously coached at South Florida, has ties right. to Florida right. for a bunch of different reasons. And I remember writing this. I was at another shop at the time. But when Willie Taggart got the Oregon job last December, looking at his staff thinking, my God, he's got Jim Levitt. He's got Mario Cristobal. He's putting together the all Florida recruiting staff.
Yeah.
And that just, to me, it was great for Oregon because Oregon does need to recruit nationally, but it also made me think at the time, well, he's not going to be long for that job if one of these jobs comes open in the Sunshine State. So, I think that would be interesting. I know Kevin Sumlin's going to be mentioned, at Florida State. I think that would be fun. I think from a personality standpoint, he's a little more laid back than not a little more, a lot more laid back than Jimbo,
yeah.
Which may sit well with some of those, power brokers at Florida State that, that Jimbo has rubbed the wrong way over the last few years.
You know, and one of the things when you talk about the power brokers that especially every state university, there's a lot of political aspect in it. And even something that might even be, a different kind of school, a private school, there's a lot of political aspects that go with it. But if you are the state university, university of, well, then, and there's a lot of, and you're sitting in the middle of Tallahassee, there's a lot of people that are interested in that politically.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, and that's the thing I think with Florida State, you don't realize like you're literally in the middle of the government center. So, you know, it's sort of like Texas in that regard with Austin that, you know, you've got a lot of really powerful people that want to have their voice heard and really are not used to not having their voice heard. That's, I think, the more important thing is that there are a lot of people that you just sort of have to placate just because in situations like that. And Jimbo's not the kind of guy to do that. And I don't know if Kevin Sumlin is either because he's never been in a situation like that. But I do know he's a little more diplomatic when it comes to dealing with people he doesn't like.
Well, do you think that Sumlin would be one of the people for – well, Sumlin, does he come up for Florida State or does he come up for Tennessee?
I think he comes up for both. I think that he's definitely going to come up for both. And so it's to me, it's a matter of if he wants to do it. I've talked to some folks around that are close to him and know him well. And I mean, look, he's getting the entire buyout, his entire contract buyout is due within 60 days. So he's going to have $10 million to spend. I think that he's the kind of guy that might decide, okay, do I want to go coach and get right back into the grind? Or do I want to go drink some beer and go fishing for a little while?
Yeah.
And honestly, like, you know, it's a pretty good decision either way. But going if you have that kind of buyout and you have the kind of ability to go enjoy your time with your family and do that stuff, but it wouldn't surprise me if he decided to go that route.
I got to ask you a couple of things, and let's talk about Herm Edwards, and they're talking about him for Arizona State. He sat there. He was wonderful on TV. My experience with him wasn't very good at Kansas City. He wasn't very good at the Jets, and now they want him to take over a college, and he's 60-some-odd years old. Can this really happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can. I think, you know, Arizona State's weird because they basically wanted to keep their entire staff, which I understand because I think their staff was actually really good. So a lot of the recruiting aspects of it that maybe would be foreign to him or at least more foreign to him, he's not going to have to deal with. He can serve as the closer. He can serve as a guy that steps in every once in a while, but by and large, Billy Napier and that crew is going to take most of that stuff on their shoulders. So I think it can work. I just think that it's just a matter of blending personalities and sort of forcing, you know, personalities to work together. And sometimes that's hard to do, but they're going to have time to make it work. So I think they'll be all right. You know, Arizona State's a good school. Herm's a dynamic personality. That staff has established roots there. So I think they'll be okay. But it's just a matter of making sure you don't have a dysfunctional coaching relationship because I've said for years, the worst thing that can happen to any college football program is dysfunction and discord amongst the coaching staff from a personality standpoint, because, you know, by and large, that's the, that that's the equivalent of coming from a home that has a mom and dad staying together just because of the kid's sake. You know, your relationships suffer when that happens.
What happens at UCLA now? I mean, they got rid of him on his birthday, and the next thing I know, Chris walks in the door and that's it. I mean, it's right for him to go back to the Pac-10, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from a style standpoint. It makes sense from a personality standpoint. You know, I think Chip understood that at Florida, the pressures were going to be really immense, and he was okay with that. But it's a little bit different when you're in LA and you can quite literally open your back door and there are five stars everywhere. That's true in Florida, but you also have just so much competition from everywhere, and it's heated competition on the recruiting trail. It's a little different in LA. The talent pool is the same. The pressure and the competition is not. So, I think that'll help him tremendously. I think he's comfortable in the Pac-12. I think he recognizes that the mm-hmm, South is a winning mm-hmm. division. And UCLA is a program that really, I mean, it should not be bad. I don't understand why UCLA is ever the king of okay, and yet that's just what they always are. So I think he'll do fine. I think it's just a matter of getting the players in, and he should hire a pretty good staff to help him do that in LA.
I'm going to ask you about JT Barrett. He had a little bit of a surgery on his knee, but he's getting ready to play this week.
Yeah, apparently the...
I would have been off for the next 6 months. What are you talking about? I'm getting a little surgery. Yeah. I would have been laying in bed for 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, meniscus surgery, even if it's a small one, which apparently is what happened, that's still significant.
Yes.
So I don't know how they're going to... Dwayne Haskins is a good quarterback, too, his backup, so... I'm curious to see if they use JT as more of a decoy, or they use him as the starter, or this is all just a smokescreen and he's not going to play at all. But that seems really aggressive to say, okay, meniscus surgery on Sunday, Big Ten championship game with a playoff spot potentially on the line Saturday. Go play, kid. I don't know how that's going to work.
You know what, Barrett? It makes no secret that I'm a huge Ohio State fan. And a friend of mine wrote to me the other day and said, can they beat Wisconsin? And I love Wisconsin. And you know what? As much as I love Ohio State, I don't think they can beat Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's really good this year.
I agree. I don't think people have seen Wisconsin play. People like criticize Wisconsin. I don't get it. Like they're a really good football team. They're fundamentally sound. Their defense is next level good. And their offense is not sexy, but man, is it effective. I mean, it is as effective as they come. So I'm with you. I think that Wisconsin can win that game, whether JT plays or not.
You know, one of the things I always said that I would want to give up my whole draft choices, take all my draft choices, just give me the Nebraska offensive line. And that's the way I felt for 10 years now for Wisconsin. Take all my draft choices, just give me the offensive line of the Wisconsin Badgers. That's all I want because they're so good. Just give me those guys. You guys can have the rest of the whatever else happens in the draft. I don't care.
Well, I mean, if you have Wisconsin's offensive line, you're going to be a step ahead of a lot of teams. No matter what skill position guys you have, you'll do all right.
Why do we hear that Gruden wants to go to Tennessee? Every year we hear Gruden wants to go here, Gruden wants to go there. And I'm like, why do we hear that? I mean, is it him? Is it the people? Maybe he doesn't get along with Sean. I have no idea. But I'm just trying to figure out what that was all about, you know, and I just haven't figured it out at all, you know, to see why does Gruden keep coming around in that?
Well, nobody loves Gruden more than Gruden. So he teases Tennessee and Tennessee takes the bait. That's basically how that goes because Tennessee, you know, he met his wife in Knoxville. He was a GA in Knoxville in the 80s. He owns land in Sevierville or wherever it is. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, they go after him. They know they want him. And so they, you know, start to initiate conversations and then it just sort of takes its own life from there because, I think it's tradition and we have to go through groomer season. But B, he leads them on. I mean, why else would he randomly mention Knoxville, Tennessee and sing Rocky Top on a Seattle radio show for no reason when he was not asked about college football at all. That's what he does. And so, you know, I think this time around, they actually shot their shot. I think in previous, you know, coaching cycles, they maybe didn't take as serious a shot at him as he wanted, or maybe they needed to do. This time, I think they did, and I think that they found out quickly he was not going to be a college football head coach.
What about Dan Mullen? You know, it was funny, all these names coming, and yet Dan Mullen was there during that time of Urban and all that stuff. So I think that's kind of good almost to bring that guy back, because they've really gone through a lot of guys since Mullen left.
Yeah, I mean, Dan is...
I meant Urban. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, you know, coming back to Florida is big for Dan, because... You know, he's a good evaluator of talent. He's a good developer of talent. And he always seems to make his offense click, regardless of personnel turnover or talent gap that he's facing. So at Florida, he has a little bit of a talent problem. They did not recruit well under McElwain, and that was a big reason why they struggled this year. So, you know, getting him back is going to be big. And, you know, getting him in a place like Florida when you have all the assets from a recruiting standpoint that you can work with will help. And, you know, Dan won some recruiting battles in Starkville, and that's hard to do in Starkville, Mississippi. So mm-hmm. in Gainesville, it'll be a little easier. So it's, you know, I know he was their third choice, but it, based on the people that they've talked to, you know, ending up with Dan Mullen is not at all the end of the world. Chip Kelly chose a T-bone steak rather than a porterhouse. That's okay. Scott Frost, I wouldn't have gone after him ahead of Mullen if I was Florida anyway, because Scott Frost, while he's awesome, has not run a major college football program, and that was a big reason why McElwain struggled, and Dan Mullen has, and he's been successful.
Why would McElwain, why do you think that it just got to the point where it could, they have to fire somebody and then everybody loses and it becomes just a disaster at the Swamp?
No, I mean, I think McElwain, he didn't recruit well at all, and so the talent level dipped. And then from a personality standpoint, I had people tell me before his first game ever, this is, you know, back before the 14 season, that he is the polar opposite from a personality perspective from Will Muschamp, where, you know, Muschamp was crazy on the sidelines but is legitimately like the nicest dude ever in reality.
Right.
Like, he just really is. That McElwain is the exact opposite. He seems nice publicly and everybody loves him because he's this aw shucks, you know, I want to go fishing type guy, but he's a snake oil salesman. And that was before anything. So, you know, he took the wrong path to, get some stuff done, including the different facilities and stuff. And while he did get that stuff accomplished, while he did get that stuff passed, he burned a lot of bridges in the process, and as a result, they just had no choice. They couldn't work with him anymore.
And you know what's interesting is he goes to South Carolina and does very well at there. I mean, you know, Spurrier walks out in the middle and we're like, what? And then he goes there and he takes over for it, and they've done a lot better there. I mean, they did better, I think, than they did here.
Yeah, I mean, Muschamp is, you know, I think that's partially just due to the fact that, you know, it's hard to be a first-time head coach in the SEC, wherever you are. And the Muschamp at Florida, that was tough for him. Derek Mason at Vanderbilt didn't understand it for a long, long time. It's hard to be, you know, a first-time head coach in the SEC because, you know, you have to learn to make decisions that you've never made before. Kirby Smart last year at Georgia, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. So, you know, I think it's – Will, I think, figured it out. And – I think he really figured it out towards the end of his time at Florida, but it was too little too late. He had changed schemes. He had abandoned the philosophy that he wanted to bring, and it was the right changes, but it just was too little too late, and he brought those over to South Carolina, and now, you know, they're an 8-1 team, probably going to a pretty decent bowl game.
Tell me about Smothered Coverage.
That's my podcast twice a week. It's we have some fun. We always have a guest on every single week. We also do picks. We have couple segments that are staples. We do coach speak, where we translate what coaches are talking about in post game press conferences, as well as ruling on the field, where we take some hot topics in the world of the SEC and we rule on them like a replay official would. So we have some fun now, especially this time of year when games are wrapping up. We have we've got a lot of shenanigans in store because the SEC offseason, I think, is more interesting than the SEC regular season because of some of the stuff that happened.
Thank you, Barrett Salee. I do appreciate it. He gave me everything I want to know. And I'm telling you, if you got all those guys out there and nobody wants the job, am I not the best person to coach? I don't think I'd really want to be a coach. I want to be the general manager, the president of something. I don't want to be a coach because they dog you all the time. I don't know about you, but I'd like to find out who's going to be in all of these places. By the way, I was looking at something on the radio program thing. Never mind. Anyway, as she said, so I got to tell you, I don't like that, you know, everybody's, and they want to sing for you, and then they want, like, the church singing, and I just, I'm not into it at all this year. Maybe I will be, you know, by the time the 25th runs around, but I am not in any way, except I did get a good Christmas card. Do you want to tell people about my other Christmas card? Jerry's laughing. You can laugh all you want, but I can't tell you what it is, but I did get another fabulous Christmas card. And I have to tell you, I go through times where, like, I'll write them, and then I won't write them for, like, a whole long time. And then, like, last year I decided to send all of these because I had a pretty fabulous self in that. But I didn't have what, well, anyway. I'm putting one out. You're not going to get one, so that's all right. I'm the Babe. You better enjoy this.
If you know the Babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at Real Sports Babe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.